You're listening to 104.4 FM. I'm Alex Fitch, and this is Panel Borders, Resonance's new weekly show about the world of comic books. With a week to go until the release of the new Transformers movie, Duncan Knott and myself are interviewing the writer Simon Furman and one of the most acclaimed artists, Jeff Senior, of the seminal British Transformers comic from the 1980s, which helped cement a love of the robots in disguise for my generation as much as the cartoons and toys the franchise was based on. The interview was conducted in the very popular bar of the Bristol International Comics Expo, so you'll have to forgive the background noise. First up, here's the trailer from the original Transformers movie from 20 years ago.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, eject, Operation Interference.
Optimus Prime, do you read me? The Decepticons are blitzing Autobot City. We're really taking...
First we crack the shell, then we crack the nuts inside.
Doing this on and off for 20 years now. What is it about Transformers in particular that sort of kept you writing them rather than branching out in all sorts of other comics instead?
I don't know whether I've kind of kept writing them on purpose. It's just, you know, I mean, it's something I know, it's something I'm known for. And I think, you know, sort of people just tend to come to me when they're starting up their next line of Transformers. And, you know, I'm happy for the work. I enjoy it. You know, it's kind of become what I'm known for, I guess. And you know, I guess I must have gone through a phase of not wanting to just be associated with Transformers, and to an extent I still feel that. But, you know, I've also kind of got a lot to be thankful for with Transformers, and so I'm happy for the work, really. And right now with IDW, you know, I'm finally kind of starting it from scratch, so it's kind of given me a whole new sort of kickstart, really. You know, I don't feel I'm just sort of, you know, continuing the same old story. You know, this is sort of my Transformers, and I feel a lot more invested in it that way. But, you know, I also try and keep doing other stuff as well. You know, I always try and do a little bit of animation work if I can. I'm, you know, trying to write a couple of film scripts at the moment. I'm doing some Terminator comics. So, you know, I mean, I always try and keep other stuff going as well. It's just that my staple diet seems to be Transformers.
When the Transformers comics started, I believe Marvel got the Japanese comics before there'd been any sort of English adaptation, and so they basically created the English version of Transformers from scratch. I mean, how late in the game did you come along to that? Because I believe it was Jim Shooter who started the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, originally Hasbro came to Marvel and said, you know, create us a backstory, give us some characters for these, you know, what was basically just a toy line then. But then afterwards, Bob Budiansky kind of was the, you know, really sort of massaged the whole thing into shape and gave them a lot of their names. And then from being the editor, he became the writer. And kind of at that point, I don't know how far Bob was into his run, but, you know, that's when I started doing the UK stuff. But that kind of, to start off with, that was kept deliberately almost separate from the US. We just had to find little potholes and fill them with a story. But, you know, afterwards I kind of started adding my own layers to it, and yeah, you know, so quite early on, I guess, probably about, you know, the whole thing kicked off in 84, and I think I started early in 85, so.
Right. Is part of the success, I guess, the art of balancing getting a good story and good characters with knowing where the limits are with licensed characters and licensed properties and not upsetting the powers that be?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was more so in the original sort of Transformers, where you did feel, yes, the toy company was watching, you know, and you couldn't sort of take huge liberties with the story or the characters. But, I mean, I think once we got the movie characters in Target 2006, we freed ourselves up a lot. You know, sort of, I don't think anybody was worried what we did with those characters, so we could kill them, we could, you know, just sort of you know, take them in all sorts of directions. And now it's completely almost free from the toy company saying, you must do this, you must have this character. You know, now we've got the whole cast. It's just how we choose to feature them, when we choose to feature them, really. So it's a lot easier now than it was.
Presumably when IDW got the license, it was before the live-action movie was on the cards. Now that there is this live-action movie, have they asked you to try and incorporate it, or are they going to keep it as two separate strands?
I think it's definitely going to be two separate strands. I mean, I wouldn't want to try and do this parallel universe thing that we've done in the past. So as far as I'm concerned, the movie continuity is completely separate from what we're doing in Infiltration and Escalation.
This is, I suppose, it's the third version of Transformers you've done, because it's three different companies. I think a few people have been frustrated that you started storylines for one company and then weren't able to finish them. But I suppose that's always been the way with comics, that even when they stay with the same publisher, they might decide to do some sort of crossover that wipes out all the old continuity anyway. It's just that this has been more forced on you rather than an evolution.
You can only sort of go ahead with the assumption that it's going to continue, that, you know, it's going to last for as long as your story lasts, you know. So I approach the IDW stuff no different to how I approach the Dreamwave stuff or the Marvel stuff. You know, I assume I'm going to get to the end of the story I'm telling. You know, if circumstances prohibit that, that's a real shame, and, you know, I hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, we operate on the assumption that, you know, we will get to the end of this thing, and that's the only way you can do it, I guess.
I imagine a lot of the audience will be coming to see the movie. It'll be kids that maybe haven't seen any Transformers at all, and then their parents that might remember the cartoon and the comics from the 80s. Do you think that's why there's still so much affection for it? Because I see that they're reprinting some of the old Marvel stuff now.
Hasbro and everybody else, Paramount and all the people, know that there's two audiences. There's the kids who are going to be seeing it for the first time and just think, wow, you know, giant robots hitting each other in Los Angeles, that's fantastic. And then there's going to be the dads now who remember it from the first time round, and either they'll think, wow, that's brilliant, or they'll think, damn, they're messing with my childhood by changing them all. And but, you know, they won't stop them going to see it.
Jeff, do you have any particularly fond memories of drawing Transformers back in the 80s and then coming back to it now?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed my stint on Transformers. It's actually quite a while ago now. I can't remember exactly when I previously did some. I've done a bit spasmodically, but no, it was good to come back and do some more, because it was really actually quite relaxing to do as well. It was just fitting into the work I do at the moment. So when I had an opportunity to do some, I'd jump into the Transformers and do as much as I could in that time. Luckily, it was only 10 pages in total, so it was good to do. I enjoyed it, yeah. It's good.
I mean, I have to admit, one of my favourite aspects of Transformers wasn't the main comic itself, but Death's Head. And it's great to see your comic back in print again in a new graphic novel. I was actually surprised that they were able to include the Doctor Who stuff. So you'd think, since that's dead popular as well at the moment, that there might have been problems, but it's in the collection as well.
Well, don't forget, Panini does Doctor Who magazine, so, you know, so I think they were on fairly steady ground there. I mean, I guess they must have cleared it with both parties, Marvel and the BBC, but, yeah, I'm great. It was great they could fit everything in, and I think Volume 2 will pretty much have all the rest in, so that's great.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I suppose the thing is because they've been reprinted, I'm not quite familiar with what's been reprinted, to be honest. I did a cover for the Death's Head. Yeah, I've got a copy, yeah. Well, that's what I've got, yeah. I did get a copy, so yeah. But like you say, it's just good to do some comics again. It's nice to meet a few, well, they're all grown-ups now, aren't they? You know, when I drew it, they were kids, but now they're all blokes. Yeah. And quite, you know, when I come and say hi, it's nice to meet you, and which, you know, in advertising, you don't get that kind of praise or anything. It's all quite cutthroat and advertising. It's quite a nice ego booster, I suppose. So no, it's just been good fun to do it again.
And with the new Titan comic, they've actually got the old team back together, so it must have been quite fun for you guys to reunite after all these years.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, like I say, it's good to work with Simon. We meet every month for a drink anyway. If not more. And he doesn't even live far away now. It's kind of creepy, really. But no, it's good. We've always been in touch anyway. and you know, it was just good to do some more comics, and maybe I might do some more even. It's just quite, because if I can drop it in between what I call my paid work, it's quite good to do. I enjoy it. So, yeah, it's been good.
When you look at the popularity of Transformers now, and it's sort of coming back, it's in the cinemas, there's, you know, articles saying, oh, you know, all this nostalgia's coming back. Do you feel you can take some credit for turning the bits of plastic into the kind of characters that people have that fond remembrance for? And which is part of the bandwagon and partly what's fueling it now.
I take all the credit, and I'd like all the royalties from the movie, please.
We ask the nicest questions. Yeah. That's the short answer.
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, obviously it's nice to think you've contributed something, and it's nice that Hasbro tend to sort of view me as the sort of go-to guy, you know, which is nice. You know, it's very flattering that the toy company think I'm kind of part of this as well, and, you know, even the movie people know who I am, if they didn't quite sort of get around to giving me a job. It was still nice that, you know, the recognition is there, so, yeah.
When you guys first started doing the comic in the 80s, being a Japanese toy range, did you look at any other kind of Japanese culture at the time, like anime, mecha? Because you said that Iron Man was one of your favourite characters, which kind of ties into that.
No, I think we didn't look at any other character. Well, I didn't look at any other characters particularly when we were doing Transformers. It was just, you know, when Transformers started off, it was just another kind of job, really. It was just another set of licensed characters. And, you know, we were doing other things like Thundercats, we did Action Force. And Transformers, although it grew to be a lot bigger, it was just another job, really, wasn't it, to start off with?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I remember they sent us to get the cartoon, wasn't it? It was the, which is great. I mean, just the action was so good in it. It was just another job. And it was just, because you're drawing robots, I suppose it was a chance to try and get some action and movement into them. So I did see some of the Americans, because the Americans were doing it way before we were, weren't they? And it was all very stiff and lumbering. And I think that was a chance to try and get some action in there, because I think it really needed it. But it was, I suppose it's a thing, when you draw on something, initially, okay, you've got to draw robots now. Oh, hang on, do you really want to do this? But you've got to look at, try and find something interesting in it, or a challenge, like in any job you do. Now, if I'm doing soap powder or something, it can be really boring. You've got to find something in there to get a hold of, to try and make it interesting. Even if it's just a face or something like that, and really work on that, just to keep the momentum going. So that was a bit the same with Transformers, and I quite liked working out just the balance of black and white. Just little things like that, which got you into it. The more you did it, the more you enjoyed it. And it sort of, it kind of grew on you, really. And, like you say, people actually like what I did, and it's always a good feeling when people like what you do. It was fun, good experience.
Next week, Duncan and I conclude our chat with our guests, looking at the new movie and the future of the franchise. In the meantime, if you'd like to catch up with some robot action, a new Transformers comic started publishing in the UK last week and is available in all good newsagents. The comic features the first collaboration between Jeff and Simon in 2 decades. Also, Simon's new Terminator comic has just hit the stands, so check out your local comic shop to see what happened after the end of the third Terminator movie, even though the comic is confusingly called, for licensing reasons, T2 Infinity. In other comics news, The Observer has launched a competition to find new comics artists and writers, so if you think you can create a short story using pictures, word balloons and captions that fits on a single page of A4, visit www.randomhouse.co.uk. And if you'd like to know more about today's show and download the podcast, please visit www.panelborders.com, and Panel Borders will be back at the same time next week.